The Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising up again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Son, the Lord that you sent to pay the penalty for our sin. We could have eternal life, have salvation. Lord, I pray as the word goes out today that you speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to focus on you, that you'll be seen in everything said and done here today. And you know our needs. Lord, pray for those ones that may be here lost today, that today will be the day of their salvation. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message today is, Did You Know? And it always, it's Christmas time, everything flies around so fast. And, you know, I've been pastoring 21 years. I've preached 21 Christmas services and preached them all the text there that go with it. And I always try to, I want something that interests me or, you know, is, I don't want it to be routine, something that I try to get a different view, different angle. I tried to do that today. I've already preached a few things since last week about the Christmas story. And but I'm look at this today, and you'll see what I mean here in a minute. This event that we just read actually took place about 41 days after Jesus was born. 41 days later, Jesus was brought to the temple in Jerusalem, and by his parents, his circumcision had been complete. The parents would come and offer a sacrifice after the birth of a child. And a man named Simeon, it says a man that was named Simeon, he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he was spoken to by God that he would not see death till he saw the Lord's child, or the Savior. And God revealed that to that man. And he saw that. And he revealed a lot to those around him, and this man did. He revealed to Joseph and Mary what the child was destined for. We know why Jesus came and was born. You know, when you have a child, every parent, you have a young child, and we got some young kids, and I got young grandkids. And you always wonder, like, what's your child? You know, what lies in store for them? What are they going to become? And, you know, parents, we have hopes for that. We hoping that, boy, you know, something good. I was hoping my kids were going to be millionaires or at least marry them. And hadn't happened yet, but I still, just kidding. You know, there's things, though, that you want. You want the best for your kids, and you want them to be safe, and you want them to be successful, and you know, you just want them to, you know, learn from everything you learned, and they already have that, and they can go from there and on. But when you think about Jesus and what all the events that surrounded the birth from that took place that led up to it, and then this man made these statements that we just read about in the Bible about to Mary about what the child was, her child was destined for. The question, did you know? There's a song, the song that's out, Mary, Did You Know? Most people are familiar with that. I didn't realize until this year, actually, that Mark Lowry wrote the words to that, and Buddy Green wrote the music. Mark Lowry actually had the words for a while, and some other people had tried to write music to it, but it just didn't feel right to him, and he showed the song. They said while they were on the bus, he showed it to Buddy Green, and he went home with it and called him on the phone and sang a little bit to him, and he said, man, this was it. You know, what a song. And I wrote down the words. I'm not going to sing it to you, so don't get excited. but I wrote the words down, and just I want to read those to you and use that a little bit today. But the words go like this. And Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will rise again. The lame will leap, and the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am, which means that, and she knew what the great I am meant, or she would have known if he had said that. God, that he's God. The great I am, that he's God in the flesh. And I want to take some thoughts from the text that I read and then that song. And like I said, just to have a different angle of for today and to preach to you this morning. I mean, certainly we know, I don't know exactly what, I know that she didn't know everything that's entailed in that song or even entailed in the text in the Bible today, but I do know some things that she did know. Number one thing, she certainly knew that this child was unique. Even though Mary was a young woman, a girl even, probably by today's standards. But she had been around life long enough to have known about other births and how everything takes place. And she knew that this child was like no other. There had been many things that had happened. She had been spoken to by an angel from God. Her cousin Elizabeth had spoken some magnificent words to her concerning her own child. If there may have been other people that doubted as to the fact that Mary was a virgin when she gave birth to the child, but Mary knew for sure. She was the one that knew for sure that it was a virgin birth. She knew that she had never known a man in any way, shape, or form. There was other things. Did she know that this was God in the flesh? I know that I don't believe that she comprehended that yet, to know who and really what all was entailed in this child. Did she know the power that she held in her hands, that she had given birth to the very one that had created her? Did she know those things? Probably not, because she didn't have the scriptures that we have, and there were a lot of things yet to unfold in the life of Jesus. So, a few points there. Number one, did she know that he was the creator of the universe, God in the flesh? I mean, that's a profound thought, to think that God came down from heaven and came by the way. I mean, he could have done it a lot of different ways, but the fact that he came through a woman, and there's a lot of theology behind that, the perfect God-man, that he had to be a man, he had to understand, he had to feel temptation, he had to be, he had to hunger, thirst, sweat, get tired, he had to understand all that, even though as God, I'm sure God can know that without experience, but he came as a man and walked on the earth to be our Savior. But, when you think about that, the song said, did you know that he would one day walk on water? He could walk on water because God, he was the creator of water. He could heal the lame, the blind, the lepers, all those things. He could heal them because he was the creator. He was the one that created it all, and he was able to do those things. All the elements of the universe, everything is subject unto God. He had spoken the world and the universe into existence as God. He spoke it into existence. Walking on water? Nothing. Not a problem. All these things that he did, but did she understand that? Do we understand that? There's still people that struggle with who Jesus is today. After everything that's happened, after his birth, his crucifixion, his resurrection, some people still say he was just a good man, or still say that he was a prophet, or still say, some people say, claim he was a sinner. There's a lot of claims about Jesus, but the fact And it's to wrap your head around everything that entails God. We have a finite mind. We're dealing with an infinite God. It's impossible for the finite to understand the infinite. We can't understand it all, that he is God in the flesh, that he came to the earth. He had walked the streets of gold. He had been worshipped by angels, but he left it all. He humbled himself to become one of us. And he had to feel what we feel. I had a deep discussion about this, about the feel of the draw, the pull of temptation. That we understand that, right? And I understand this, that it was impossible for God to sin. It's impossible for God to sin. But I thought, and me and somebody had a talk about this one time. He felt one way and I felt the other way. And, you know, like I've been telling my wife for years, I was right and he was wrong. And trying to get that straight. But that Jesus felt temptation. Now, you know, well, and the discussion went like this. Well, how could he feel temptation if he couldn't sin? Well, because he's God. See, God can make that happen. Where he felt what we feel as far as that pull, that lure of temptation. He felt it. Could he have sinned? No, he couldn't sin because he was God, but he felt the temptation. He knows what it felt like. And then to feel pain, to hunger, to thirst, to feel sorrow, and then eventually even to taste death. Everything that, you know, as a human being, this is what God was about to do. He was the creator of it all. So did Mary understand all those things? No, she didn't understand all that. I don't believe there was any way possible at that point in her life that she could understand. She didn't have the New Testament yet. She didn't have the rest of the Word of God. Everything that was complete in that. There might have been some thoughts, but boy, just think about that. You know, every mother in Israel wanted their child to be the one. They knew about a Messiah. They knew about a Savior. So every Jewish mother that had a male child thought, boy, this could be the one. But boy, you know, there was always doubt. You know, oh, this could be the one. This could be the one. But you're looking at a baby. And we always think, oh, we know things about God. I always tell my church this. You know, we know that the Lord says he's coming back. So if I ask everybody, do you think the Lord's coming back? Everybody says, yeah. Do you think he's coming back today? And nobody thinks it. So every mother knew that the Savior was coming. He was coming through a Jewish mother at some point in time. But do you think this is the one? Do you think this is the one? No, nobody probably thought that he was the one. So did she know he was the creator of the universe? I doubt it. Did she know he was the Savior? The second thing. And as I said, every mother dreamed about this. But they didn't understand what Savior meant. Savior to them was a political Savior from Roman rule, not a Savior for their sin. And they were just looking for somebody that was going to grow up, be a military general, get on a horse, have an army come rescue them, take them off into their own nation, or just defeat the Romans and take over what they had and have that. That's what they were thinking about, what a Savior meant. You know, we still sort of feel that way when it comes to God, what we want from God when we pray. It's evident in our prayers. What we want, you know, is, you know, Lord, you know, here's my problem. Save me from that. Lord, here's my sickness. Save me from that. You know, those are the things. We still don't look at what Jesus means and as concerning sin and the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us and us, God living in us. That's still another profound thought, that God dwells in us as through the Holy Spirit, that God of the universe, the creator of the world, dwells in the heart of the believer. That's hard to believe. Huh? But it's what the Word of God says. I mean, that he's in us. And so, you know, understanding what really a Savior means, I don't know that even a lot of people in the world today have really got a grip on that. That God came and they had to become one of us to fulfill the law. He walked 33 years. He said no to those temptations and he said yes to that cup. He became our sin, the Bible says. He bore our shame and he paid our price. Verse 30 and 32 through 32 said, "For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." I got to thinking about that right there. Now the Jews, see, they just thought the Savior was going to come and save them. They didn't even have no idea that he was going to be a savior to the whole world, a savior to the, and I thought it was ironic that it said first a light to the Gentiles and then a savior for the Jews as well, or the Israel as well, that he would be, that was probably a profound statement to them, a shock to them that this savior, this Messiah was going to be a light to the Gentiles. They had a lot of prejudices in those days and they didn't understand that. And so a savior to the whole world. And so did she understand all that? No, I doubt that hadn't come on the scene yet. But, you know, I thought about Mary when you think about her and all the things that had gone on already with a revelation from an angel and her cousin Elizabeth speaking to her about the birth and all that, you know, angel appearing to Joseph in a dream. And by the time we get here, you know, they'd already had the birth and the shepherds had come to the manger and angels had appeared and there was praising God and all. Can you imagine? This is all going on in the day you've given birth to your child. You're thinking, you know, and her head had to be reeling. I mean, Joseph's mind had to be reeling. Those parents, everybody's mind had to be reeling about this, to take this all in. And then this guy comes there in the temple and he's praising God and he prophesies and says, this is what's going to happen. And some of that news didn't sound too good and some of it did sound good to her. Man, you can imagine, moms, it's bad enough. You know, what all you're thinking about, your mind would just be taken off. And it said that, then the third thing is, did she know that he was a king? You know, Isaiah 9, chapter verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I mean, in other words, he's going to be a king. I mean, he's going to be a prince. And he's going to be a king. Now, I don't know about you, but this would sound pretty good, doesn't it? It sounds pretty good that your child is going to one day be king. But between that prophecy and this actually taking place, there was going to be a cross. And Simeon told her, he said, look what he said, he revealed a little bit to her there. He said, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Can you imagine? I always think about this when, and it's hard for me to watch the movie. I've seen it two or three times. It's tough. I have to gear up for it. But The Passion of Christ, if you ever saw that movie, there's a scene in the movie. I mean, of course, you know, movies are movies and they're portraying, they got to fill in the blanks, you know, I mean, and it may have went like this, but there's a scene when Jesus is taking the cross down through the town. And he stumbles and falls. And there's his mother looking at him, reaching out. And she flashes back to when he was a little boy and he fell and hurt his knee or something and cried, came running back to him. Can you imagine, Mom? Can you imagine facing the scourge, your son being scourged, being beat, the trial, being nailed to a cross? And having to go through, because if you ever notice in the Bible when you read those accounts that Mary's always there. Mary's always there. Can you imagine? And that's what he said, a sword was going to pierce through her soul. That her child was going to have to go through this. You know, aren't you glad? You know, sometimes people think, boy, I wish I could see into the future. By the grace of God, we can't see everything that lies in. By the grace of God, aren't you glad that God... See, God, this way God... Now, sometimes God does. I mean, he had revealed to Simeon some of these things, and he shared some things. It wasn't all the details. And sometimes God gives us light. Sometimes God does reveal something, a definite end maybe, a means or a direction he wants us to go, and even maybe a result of that. But most of the time, this is how God operates. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so what God does most of the time, he just wants you to take a step of faith. He just gives you enough light to take the next step. And that's really a blessing. That's the grace of God, because if we knew, if she knew, as a mother, if she kind of knew what Jesus was going to have to go through physically, that she might have, I don't know, taken him. I'm sure he would have got back by the time he was adult. Excuse me. But, you know, what if you don't know that? See, so God just wants us to like say, hey, take the next step. You know, take the next step. That's what, when the Israelites were going over the Jordan River, finally, after they failed to go the first time, 40 years later, Jordan River's at flood stage. The priest had to come down the river and he said, step into the water. He had to take the step. The water was there. It was real. It was an obstacle. He said, but step. They didn't know. They stepped. The water parted. They went across. See, that's what God does for us. And that's actually a blessing. Because this is what you got to get straight in your head. This is kind of a little side part of this. Is you understand that God wants what's best for you. This is what God wants. I mean, God wants you to be successful. You know, because a lot of people have a concept of God, you know, he's up there, the big man upstairs. Hold on, I got to have a cough and spill. The big man upstairs, and he's got that bony finger, and he don't want you to have no fun, and every time. And you know, if you got a two-year-old, we got a two-year-old. You know, when you got one, it's always no. It seemed like every time you turn around, what are you saying? Because they always are going for the stuff they don't, you know, they're grabbing something you don't want them to get, and they're going in a place you don't want them to go, and they're doing, and you're always going, no, 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 no. Your mouth's like stuck on that. And sometimes people think like that's what God's doing. I mean, God's saying, no, 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 can't have no fun, can't have no fun, no, 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 no. That's not what God wants. He does say no. It's just like we say no when we got the kids because we don't want them to get hurt. We want what's best for them, and God wants what's best for us. And so God's saying, listen, but listen, this is what God wants. Just like your parents, just like Mary, just like Joseph. We leave old Joseph out a lot of times, but listen, man, he had to raise him as he was the man of the house. He had to raise Jesus as his son, and he had responsibility there. But just like those parents, they wanted what was best for their child. That's what God wants for you. And so God wants you to be successful. And Lord, man, we were studying in Sunday school hour. This is a blessing to me that Jesus prays for me. I mean, I love that. John, Jesus prays for me. That's good. You know, what's he praying for? Oh, I'm just praying. He's not praying that I don't have any fun. He's not praying that I'm not successful. He's not praying that I don't have everything that he wants me to have. I mean, listen, I'm a child of God now. If you're saved, you're a child of God. God wants what's best for you. And so once you understand that, listen, this is a concept that you think, oh, yeah, well, we know all that. Yeah, but do you act like you know that? See, this is it. Just understand that God wants what's best. So if God's directing us one way, it's the best way. It's because he knows a lot more even than our parents. Our parents probably made some mistakes, and we as parents probably made some, but God doesn't. And so he's leading us the right way. And Mary, and that's what they had to understand. And we have to understand it as far as we go, as far as trusting God. And that's so even though God doesn't show us every step of the way, and even though there may be some things in life that God leads us to and through. I like when you can look back and you see that he led you through, by the way. Huh? You know, this too shall pass. That's in the Bible. This too, no matter what it is, it's going to pass. And so God leads you through some things in life. I'm glad I can look back. Boy, it's a lot more fun looking back than it is. You know, because we get all worried in a sweat about something coming up, and we get all in a panic, and oh my gosh, and what are we going to do? I don't know how I'm going to make it, and we're all sweating and wringing our hands and worrying and all that and getting blood pressure medicine. And then a month or two after, so, yeah, piece of cake, man. We got all through. That's how I get, because God wants what's best. And so she didn't see all that. God doesn't tell us what lies ahead. He just gives us enough light to take the next step. And then he gives us the grace we need to face what's next. And boy, you think about that, boy. Some historians say that Joseph was probably dead by the time Jesus went to the cross. He's not on the scene there. But Mary was alive. She was going to need grace to face what she had to face as far as her son was concerned. And then I want you to, here's another little side note, no extra charge, that might get lost in the whole story right there. When you look at the people that God speaks to and who God uses, it said in verse 25 about this man Simeon, which we didn't know anything about him before this. So he was a man, and Simeon's name, the same was a just and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now that was really a big deal in that day because the Holy Spirit hadn't been given as a permanent possession to the believers. He just came on people for a certain reason. The Holy Spirit was on him for this purpose, but it says that he was a devout man. Devotion, devoted. And he was waiting upon the Lord. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And God revealed to him what was happening or what was going to happen. concerning Jesus Christ, God himself. And, you know, in Luke 1, it said the angel spoke to Mary about the conception and told her that the Holy Ghost was going to come upon her. And, you know, what I want to see and what you see is that this is who God speaks to. God really, because sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm just not hearing from God. Listen, God speaks, you know, sincere people, people that are really seeking God's will, but, you know, devout people, people that are devoted to God, people that are looking for God, they're looking for something, they want to hear from God, they're going towards God. This is who God speaks to and people that, God uses, devout, dedicated, sincere people, people that are looking. Man, when you look in the Bible, I started thinking about all the people that are connected with that. Boy, those shepherds, they were looking. Those wise men that came later on, they were looking. They were looking for God. I mean, for the right reason. Herod wanted to look, but it wasn't for the right reason. God didn't speak to him. But he did speak to those wise men, and he did speak to those shepherds. Remember, an angel appeared to them shepherds because they were looking. They were looking for something. And they all the people that God spoke to and used and filled with the Holy Spirit are people that were looking for him. And I think the key to it is that are really sincerely, you know, looking for God. They wanted to know. And, you know, we can't do a thing apart from the Holy Ghost of God. I mean, we can't do anything for God apart from the Holy Ghost. He's the song I played for the church last night. It was, some of you might have seen it. It was last Sunday night. It was an autistic boy that's blind, and he was singing, "Open the eyes of my heart, open the eyes of my heart." We worked on it as a choir a little bit today. We're going to sing it sometime for you right there. But that's who God opens the eyes of the hearts of the sincere people that really want to see, that want to see God, that want to know and then know him, and then he reveals his plans and his direction, and he empowers us. And he does it all for his glory, for God's glory. That's the main point right there. And then God gives us some landmarks on the journey. As I said before, Mary was sure, for sure she knew it was a virgin birth. I don't know whether Joseph had any doubts. I don't think he did because an angel spoke to him about it. I think he believed that and all. But the one that knew for certain, it was Mary. That was a landmark in her life. No matter what happened. She said, "I know this child is special, and I know every parent thinks their child is special, and every child is a gift from God. Every child is. But this child here, the virgin birth, hadn't never happened. Man, this was, she knew, she could look back at that and say, I know for a fact that this is a special, special child, and if she didn't know anything else. It was a landmark for her, and she knew for sure that the Holy Ghost had come upon her and conceived this child. And she was going to need those landmarks as she walked down this road. She's walking down a road that no one else had walked before. And I think God placed landmarks in world history in the birth of Christ. Certainly, we're celebrating that now. That was a landmark in world history, and we still talk about it to this day. But this is another thing, and I'll bring this up even tonight when we have communion. Jesus didn't actually, and there's nothing wrong with this, you know, we have it in Scripture, the birth of Christ. But later on in life, Jesus didn't ask us to remember his birth. He asked us to remember his death. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And he was speaking about his death that he wanted us to remember because that was the fulfillment or fruition of why he came to be born. And, you know, a lot of people miss all this. One of the sermons last week, I think, brought this out. The people at the inn, I talked about them just a little bit. I don't try to be too hard on the people. Like I said last week, I'm sure they were compassionate about the fact that there was a mother with child about to give birth, but nobody was compassionate enough to give the room up. But just think, in space and time, this is the time we live in today. We might be living when the Lord comes back. We may be in that time bracket right there. They were living at the birth of Christ, and they were so close to the birth of Christ. I mean, I don't know how far away the manger from the inn. I don't think it was too far. Bethlehem wasn't a big place. They were that close to what was going on down there in the inn, but they missed it. Can you imagine of all the things? I mean, you know, we got entertainment coming out of our ears right now, and this, we got television. You know, I'm old enough to remember when the television went off at like 11:30 or 12, and you got that boo. the test pattern on the thing. And then you came up in the morning and they did the flag, the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and said something about our daily bread even. That's a miracle. They don't do that now. And the TV went off, and man, we got 24 hours a day entertainment and places that don't even close. Even Walmart stays open all night, for crying out loud. But just thinking, I don't think everything was hopping like that in Bethlehem at that time. Can you imagine them angels showing up and them shepherds showing up and the birth of God in the flesh, and they're all back at the inn asleep missing? There's a lot of people missing it now. There's people in this world right now missing it now. They don't know what it's all about. I mean, they're whizzing up and down the road, man, thinking about Santa Claus and Rudolph and all the other stuff that goes along with Christmas. It's been added to it. They're not thinking about the birth of God on the face of this earth, the Savior of the world. They're not thinking about it. They're missing it. They're so close yet so far away. There's one line in the song, Mary, Did You Know, that reads like this. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child that you delivered will soon deliver you. See, here's the thing about the birth. Every man, woman, child, every person has to believe for their self. You know that Mary had to trust in Jesus Christ for her salvation. She had to trust in her son for her salvation from sin, the flesh and the world. You know, she had to do that. She had to believe. All of Jesus's later on, Mary and Joseph had children, Jesus' half-brothers, I guess. They had to believe for themselves. Peter, Thomas, Paul, you and I. Everybody, every one of us has to believe for ourselves on Jesus Christ, who He is, what He is, what He's done. We have to believe it for ourselves. I can't help you in that. All I can do is give you the gospel and give you the truth. You have to believe it for yourself. Take it in. Receive the gift. You know, I kind of usually share this with people at Christmas. I always want to get all my gifts other than my Aunt Mary's socks. I got socks from Aunt Mary every year. I knew what they were. She didn't put them in a box. She just wrapped them up and bundled up socks, and they'd be there. And that'd be the last present under the tree. You know, every year I'd get all the other toys I knew. I'd see them things laying around. You know, we don't want those socks. I don't even want them now. And for Christmas, anyway. And somebody said, oh, no, I got him signed. <It's okay. laughs> But, you know, I would look under there, and I want to make sure that I get all my gifts. I want to open my gifts. I want to receive my gifts. I don't want to not get a gift. I mean, I've got some weird ones. I got some ones I don't even know what they are to this day. I don't know what they were or what they are. I kept one thing for years. I didn't know what it was. Here's the gift of God, Jesus Christ, eternal life. Listen, why not receive your gift? I mean, if Jesus Christ, He died for you. If you had been the only person, you know, just think about this, you know, profound thought. You were the only person on the face of the earth. You were it. One man, one woman. You were the only person. You know that Jesus Christ would have come down and died for you. You need a Savior. He'd have died for you. He died for you. He knew. He knows my name. We got a song we sing. He knows my name, man. He knew our name. He died for us. Why not receive that gift? Why not? Man, it's Christmas Eve. It's okay to open this gift up early. Huh? You can go, I like opening mine on Christmas Day, but it's okay. Receive this gift. Why not receive that gift? That God is offering it to you. It'd be so foolish to turn that gift down, the gift eternal life. You're not going to receive a better gift. You're not going to receive a greater gift. You're not going to receive a gift that would last any longer. It's the best. It's the greatest gift. Eternal life. Eternal life. You hear that all the time, so it blows through one ear and out the other. What you think about it? That you're going to live forever. And that you're going to be forgiven. You're going to receive God's Holy Spirit. Just some gifts. They have so much within the gift. The gift of eternal life means the possession of the Holy Spirit, God within your soul. in your heart. Man, that's a gift there. Never top it. God died for you. Why not receive that gift today? We'll have an invitation. Paul, come.